Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. First on the docket today, how much trouble is Josh Duggar really in? Second, Ghislaine Maxwell's first photo while in custody. Third, Letitia Stauch is a no-show in a court appearance today. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day and our recap of all our contestants for the dumb criminal contestant of the week. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. Now, if you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button as well as the bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. Now, you can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And here's the best thing. If you can't catch us on YouTube or Facebook, you can always download today's episode at your favorite podcasting app. That's right. We're there. We're out there. We're everywhere. You can always catch a Crime Talk. There's no reason not to listen every day. All right. First on the docket, how much trouble is Josh Duggar really in? The United States District Court for the Western District of Arkansas, that's the Fayetteville division, has filed a 2-count indictment against Mr. Duggar. In that indictment, it alleges that on May 14th and on or about May 16th in the Western District of Arkansas, Fayetteville, Joshua James Duggar knowingly received child pornography in violation of the United States Code. And count two is possession of child pornography, which alleges that on or about May 14th, 2019, and on or about May 16th, 2019, in the District of Arkansas, Joshua James Duggar did knowingly possess material that contained images of child pornography in violation of the United States Code. And they have to also allege that it was in furtherance of interstate commerce, i.e. being mailed, shipped, or transported using any means and facility of interstate and foreign commerce and affecting interstate and foreign commerce by means of a computer, and that was produced using material that had been mailed and shipped and transported in affecting interstate commerce. Now you think, why is that necessary? It's in federal court. For crimes to be federal, it has to have an interstate nexus. Needless to say, if you're using a computer, you're downloading something from a computer, even though you're in Arkansas, that server could be out of the country or in the state of Virginia for all we know. That is interstate commerce. Now, Josh Duggar. Why should we even care about Josh Duggar? Well, we probably shouldn't, but he is a former reality TV star, and that was on TLC's 19 Kids and Counting. Now, the show was canceled because there were allegations that he had molested underage girls as a teenager. Well, maybe someone should have been looking and listening, and it figured out that perhaps he had a propensity to like underaged children. Not a good thing. That's bad. It gets you in trouble. It harms lots of young women and girls and children. I think I covered every description I could possibly come up with, so I don't get yelled at for saying you didn't say child. So Mr. Duggar was arrested yesterday. He appeared in court. He entered a plea of not guilty. That is standard in federal court. You show up at the arraignment slash detention conference, and then you're sent up to the district court from the magistrate's courtroom, and you get trial dates and what have you. The detention hearing is set for next week to see if Mr. Duggar will be released and if there are any conditions or a combination of conditions that can allow Mr. Duggar to be released safely into the community, assuring that he is not a flight risk as well, and he cannot be around anyone under the age of 18 for obvious reasons. We'll continue to follow this. You just never know where this type of thing is going to pop up. And One thing that may explain the delay in why the allegation goes back to 2019 and he's not arrested until 2021 is that the prosecution must be able to put Mr. Dugar behind the computer. And not just using that computer, but he is the one that actually downloaded and possessed the images. That becomes a problem if there are multiple people in the family that had access to that computer. What do they always have to prove? Identity, that it was the defendant, not someone looked like him, not someone using his identity or somebody else, but it was in fact the defendant that committed the crime. We'll continue to follow that. And it's kind of ironic. Just the other day, I was at the federal detention center to see a client, and somebody reminded me that Jared from Subway was just beyond the fences there the other day. And what was he in there for? That's right, the exact same thing. So if Mr. Dugar is convicted, that's right, he should plan on going to federal prison. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, Ghislaine Maxwell. The struggle continues. Now, Miss Maxwell is 59 years old and have to say that the first photo that was released of Miss Maxwell, a picture taken by her attorneys to document what they believe to be a black eye, a bruise of some type that Miss Maxwell would not tell her attorneys how she received it. There have been allegations that she is being abused by the correctional officers there at the Federal Detention Center in New York, but apparently Miss Maxwell is keeping mum. Now, certainly not going to want to be accused of anything, but I'm sure this is not the photo that Miss Maxwell, who used to live a glamorous lifestyle, would want being sent out to the public. She looks like she has aged a little bit. She kind of looks like the witch in the play Wicked, but I'm not disparaging her. I'm just kind of saying this is kind of what she looks like. She's got some problems there. Certainly, we don't want anyone to be abused while they're in custody, right? Because we're the good guys. We're better than that. And here in the United States, we treat everyone with dignity and respect. Miss Maxwell may get some relief in her detention. In response to a motion filed by her attorneys stating that Miss Maxwell's sleep is being disrupted, which is harming her health and compromising her ability to assist in the preparation of her defense, the judge has ordered that the prosecutors find out if the correctional officers at the federal detention facility are in fact waking Miss Maxwell up every 15 minutes throughout the evening and night so that they can see if she is still alive. If that in fact is the case, the judge wants to know the justification for that reason. Now, on a side note here, we all know, according to the Ghislaine Maxwell suicided watch, Miss Maxwell has been in custody since July 2nd of last year. Her trial date is set for July of this year, 2021. I would submit to you that Miss Maxwell's case is not only much more severe than the Lori Vallow, Chad DeBell matters, it is much more complicated than the Lori Vallow, Chad DeBell matter. And yet, they are going to have a trial literally within 1 year in a complex case. Don't you find that interesting? I certainly do. Just saying, Idaho, maybe we could get the ball rolling. Next on the docket, Letitia Stauch. she was a no-show at court today. Well, was this a court proceeding regarding her criminal case? It was not. However, it was a court appearance regarding her finalization of the divorce. Her husband, Al Stauch, was working on getting this matter resolved. He apparently, and somehow it's stated to the court, that he's accumulated $75,000 in attorney's fees between the murder and the divorce case. I'm not sure why he would be spending $75,000 on the murder case, and I'm not sure the divorce would take $75,000 in attorney's fees either, since, well, they really didn't own that much, and I can't imagine that she was going to contest anything whatsoever. Obviously, she referring to Letitia Stauch. Well, Ms. Stauch didn't show up. She would have been brought over on a writ from the jail to the courthouse, even though it was a civil proceeding. Now, there is such a thing where a defendant, and even in this case, a civil case, will refuse to go to court. Some judges handle it differently. Since this was a civil case, basically the court would have treated it as though they didn't care. They knew that she had notice, obviously, and they went to pick her up and she refused to go. Therefore, let the chips fall where they may. In a criminal case, if a defendant refuses to come to court, the judges can do a couple of things. First, they can reset the case. They can have a sheriff go reiterate how important it is to come to court. The judges could then issue a failure to appear and impose a warrant, but if they're already in custody, it really doesn't matter. And ultimately, they could ask that the sheriff extract the defendant and bring them to court against their will. Hopefully it doesn't come to that, but I think that Ms. Letitia Stauch up to this point is clearly playing games with not only the sheriff, but the court system. We'll see if that changes. I still am of the opinion she made a huge mistake proceeding pro se, and she should go back, hat in hand, ask the court to have her previous counsel rep resent her. Bottom line, don't go to court, particularly on your first case, which is a murder case, and want to do it all on your own. It's probably the dumbest thing one could possibly do. Now, next on the docket, it is our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Now, our dumb criminal contestant of the day, I'm just not sure if he's a dumb criminal, which he would fit into that category, or maybe he is in fact just a horrible human being. Well, our dumb criminal today comes from Ohio, and our dumb criminal's name is James Rhodes. He was charged with aggravated menacing and ethnic intimidation after he verbally attacked a black woman who was delivering food with her young child as a DoorDash driver. Now, there's an actual video of this, and Mr. Rhodes should be absolutely appalled and embarrassed by his conduct. I don't think we can put the video up here on YouTube because, well, YouTube will censor us. And based upon the topics of today, it has nothing but demonetization written all over it. But let's try not to get a community strike as well. Well, let's just give you a quick summary of what he said. I pay $1,000 a month here, referring to the apartment complex that he refers to. And you can't make $1,000 in 2 months. F you, you dumb black effing N-word. Yeah, that's the kind of guy that Mr. Rhodes is. He then goes one step further and says, I have an AK-47 in my car. And oh, by the way, he then confirms what we already know at this point, that he is in fact a racist. That's right. He should be embarrassed. He certainly qualifies for the dumb criminal, and he is certainly a top contestant for a horrible human being contestant of the year. We'll keep him in mind when we give that award. All right, next, let's do a quick retap. Monday, we had Keith Adams, who was smuggling drugs into the detention facility in his fake leg. We then had Olivia Taylor Washek, who was drunk in St. Petersburg and offering to give lap dances to, well, unconsenting participants on the boardwalk. We had Clifford Torres Maldonado, who was booked for possession of drugs, and he has his shirt on that says, "It wasn't me," with Pinocchio growing. Congratulations to all our contestants. You are definitely all winners in our book, but there can only be one dumb criminal contestant of the week. You all let me know in the comments, and we will let you know who the winner was for this week. Thanks for watching. Make sure you follow us. Catch our weekly recap on Saturday of the highlights throughout the week. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.